Okay. With you know, with summer and all, listen, if you can't make it because you're not sick, I understand that, and that's the right thing to do. Or if you're away on vacation, God bless you, have fun, become refreshed, but come home and come back to church. But if this pandemic has made us lazy to the point where we think we can just sit home and watch it, I pastorally, I'm in a real quandary, and I'll tell you why. Do we shut down the feed, or do we keep it going? Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to shut it down because that's meant for shut-ins and people who legitimately can't make it. But, and listen, I've had elders from other churches say to me, well, yeah, I got kind of used to staying home and listening to it. And that's not a good thing. That's really not a good thing. So on this Pentecost Sunday, I just want to remind everybody, it's time to come back. It's time to come back. But God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
I think I covered all the announcements. The picnic last week, in my opinion, I hope that we make that kind of an annual or even a biannual thing. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It was really good. You know, how God works. It was warm last week, but it wasn't stifling. Today, it probably would have been stifling out there. So God's timing is all good. We're going to look today at two dangers that plagued the church back in Paul's time. One was an incomplete message, an incomplete gospel message, and the other was superstition. Both are around today. Both are still with us today, and they're just as big of a danger. And we're going to look at that today because you need to be informed and for a lot of reasons, and we'll go over that in the message. But listen, God hasn't given up on us, and we should not give up on him. He's going to fight our battles, but we have to obey. That make sense? Mm-hmm. We can't just sit and do nothing. We have to be obedient to his word, to his spirit. And one of the great consolations for me is that I know that even before I face a battle, God knows about it already. And he's working. Even though I may not see him working, he's working. And the other thing is that battle is being fought in the heavenlies. And when we start to realize the magnitude of that battle, there's no one I would rather have on my side than the Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Kristen, would you come? If you're able, if you can stand, we're going to sing and praise God and just let affirm to God that the battle belongs to him.
Stand.
God, our help in ages past. We have short memories. We're no better than the Israelites, right? God miraculously delivers them from slavery in Egypt, parts the sea, and the very next day they're complaining. We have short memories, right? Our God, our help in ages past. If you read the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, you will see that one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants us to do is recall what God has done for us and then move on. But we can't forget. Once we forget, we stop seeing the incredible grace, love, and holiness of God. So would you sing this, please?
Shelter from the storm.
It's good. Stand up for Jesus. I chose this very intentionally because in these coming days, we're going to have to stand up for Jesus. We're all going to be faced with decisions that we need to make. And we need to stand up for Jesus. And you may say, well, Pastor, you know, that's kind of hard to do. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, he will help you stand up for Jesus. All we have to do is let him. This is kind of an old chorus, I guess, right? I don't remember when it came out. Is it public? It's old. Just like me. So listen to the words, sing it, and stand up for Jesus. Real good singing for a small group. Let me, parking lot, can you hear me? Uh-oh. Is the transmitter on? And I'm caught. There we go. Ah, got it. Parking lot?
All right.
Thank you. You know, I'm a real big fan of technology. I am. I'm not a big fan when technology replaces human contact. But I am a big fan of technology. And we have the tools in this day and age to do a lot of communication. And a tool is a tool. It's neither good nor bad. It depends on how it's used, right? When a hammer is used well by a carpenter, it becomes a thing of beauty, like an instrument. But when it's used maliciously to cause damage, then it's bad, right? You know, I reflect, and I hope this is not me just getting old, but I reflect on all the books that are out these days. All the how-tos and all of this stuff about marriage and relationships and anger issues and all of that. And then I look at our media, which unfortunately is probably the most unreliable in how they communicate. And, you know, I'm discovering really quickly, oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'm discovering very quickly that we may have made technological advances, but we have gone back morally and ethically. Is that a fair assessment? Even in the church. And that's a big problem. That's really a big problem. We live in a narcissistic day and age in our country, in our culture. Not everywhere in our country, but especially here in the Northeast. You know what I mean by narcissistic? It's all about us. It's all about us. I don't care about you. It's all about us. And in fact, I'll give you a clue. We here in the Northeast, we're considered the hardest to reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But listen, in this day and age, it seems more likely that because of our sin nature, we will believe a lie rather than the truth. It's just as simple as that. Rather than looking to the truth of the scripture, people would rather look to other people or things that will propagate the information in order to manipulate or take advantage of somebody else. That's a sad commentary. And the reason for it is power and control. That's the reason for it. Now listen, you say, well, it's a good thing that we don't have this in the church. Yeah, we do. We have it in the church in a number of ways. I'll give you some examples. Emily, I forgot the clicker, if you want to do that for me, if we can find it. We're going to be in Acts chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, if you want to take a look. Thank you. Paul actually talks about the danger of an incomplete gospel. And you would say, well, Pastor, what's an incomplete gospel? I'm going to save the responsive reading until later, okay? So follow with me. I'm sorry about the mix-up in the order, but we're gonna do this, okay? Beware of incomplete gospels and superstitions. Look at how this starts out. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. This is, again, now the start of the third missionary journey. He found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And the disciples said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what spirit did you receive? John's baptism. They're talking about John the Baptist. All right, these were John's disciples. Now, if you remember, John was preaching a baptism of repentance. Come and be and repent and be baptized. He was preparing the way for Jesus. These two fellows, or how many of them they were, they never heard about the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to indwell believers. And so they had an incomplete message. There's an old saying for among those of us who have taught, you know, on a seminary level, that you get somebody who's brand new in seminary and they acquire knowledge of the most dangerous people on earth because they think they know it all. And you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. And you're only getting part of the message at that point. And it's kind of hard to explain, but it's true. That's why seminary it takes a long time and is a process involved. But here you had disciples of John who had an incomplete message. Well, I want you to see how gracious God is here. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Paul did was he filled them in on the rest of the story. Remember Paul Harvey? And now for the rest of the story. He filled them in on the rest of the story. They were baptized now in the power of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were 12 men in all. And I don't think that's an accident. How many apostles were there originally? 12, right? So there were 12 men originally. And so God was gracious in this point. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned away. So Paul left them, and he took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. You know where the lecture hall of Tyrannus was? Right next to the synagogue. How God works things out, right? This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. This is crucial stuff. You say, well, okay, you know, we have the Bible today, so we have the complete story. Yeah, we have the complete story if people read it. But sometimes it's not preached completely. For instance, there are preachers from whose mouth you will never hear anything about the virgin birth of Christ. There are some preachers, I'm talking about high profile. There are some preachers who will never talk about the substitutionary death that Jesus died for us to pay for our sin once and for all. In fact, with some preachers, you won't even hear the word sin. And with some preachers, it's all about I'm going to say what makes you feel good. I heard one preacher say, if you felt things were going bad in your life, today is your day. Really? Why? Because it's going to end, and God's going to give you something better. And I was actually yelling at the television. I'm saying, well, maybe things are going bad because the people are living in sin. Where's repentance? You know? When will we stop treating God like a Santa Claus? And so, you know, it goes on. From some preachers, you will never hear the statement that all of us are born sinners. You need to be aware of this, okay? You won't hear about the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. You won't hear about the difference between religion and Christianity. And you won't hear about the great transaction that takes place the moment we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. These are all major issues. In some cases, you don't even hear about the Trinity. And we really need to be careful. And God forgive me, some of these guys, they have high power ministries. And they make lots of money, you know, doing this stuff. Listen, we are called and commissioned to preach the whole counsel of God, the good and the bad. The fact of the matter is we're all sinners. That's the fact of the matter. Let's not let our cancel culture redefine sin. Nobody has a right to tell you what sin is except the Word of God. Understood? That includes any television people, Hollywood. Who in the world gave Hollywood their clout? Right? It's just stupid. Sin is anything that goes against the Word of God. Anything. And you know what God speaks most about in the Bible as far as sin? Unfaithfulness to Him. That's what He speaks most about. Any gospel that omits any of this information is an incomplete or false gospel. The true gospel will always be believed by some, but many others will respond with hostility. That's what would happen here. Others will, but so Why do I tell you that? Because the real gospel is not real popular. It's not real popular. Somebody years ago once came to me and said, we had experienced some rapid growth in the church. Some of it was new believers, but unfortunately, others were from churches that were having problems. And listen, when you have growth like that, what people generally do is take the DNA of that problem and bring it to the church, and it never gets resolved, okay? So, you know, we're going through some growth, and someone in authority came to me and said, Pastor, what could you do to get even more people in here? I said, what do you want me to do? Stand on my head? I mean, you know, what do you want me to do? I said, listen, I could easily get more people in here if I never preach on sin and the consequences of sin, if I stick to Revelation, because people want to know when all this stuff is going to be made right, but they don't want to talk about our personal accountability. I mean, I could pack a church teaching Revelation, but to teach Revelation without personal accountability is worthless. Ah, see, God's going to come back. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. Well, the issue is not them. The issue is me. That's the issue. And there's all sorts of ways you can pack a church. But we can't ignore the gospel. It just can't be done. Even, Sharon, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been in this longer than I have. Even the argument about music, right? You know what sacred music is? Sacred music is music that honors God and all the doctrines of the Bible, whether it's old or new. That's what sacred music is. It doesn't honor the performers. It doesn't honor anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get an understanding of this, because in our culture, we're so entertainment-oriented, aren't we? Well, I come to church, boy, you know, they got good music. Well, did the music impact your heart? Yeah, and the pastor tells a lot of jokes. Okay. Well, did you hear the word of God today? Were you changed by what you heard? This is such a danger in today's day and age. I really believe this is one of the main reasons that you're not seeing a almost an immediate resurgence of attendance in the church. Because even believers can get complacent about these things. Gee, I can stay home and relax and listen. And if I don't like what Lou's saying, I can go to so-and-so. And if I don't like what so-and-so's saying, I can go to so-and-so. Then when all else fails, I can turn on the television and hear so-and-so. Listen, Jesus came to serve and to save. It wasn't a popular message, but it's a message that everyone needs to hear. Jesus is our only hope. Our only hope. That's how crucial this is. And we don't preach the whole counsel of God. When we leave out anything, then we're doing an injustice to ourselves and to the people who are listening. There's another problem. It's called superstition. Look at verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Now, let me give you a little theology on miracles, okay? I still believe God does extraordinary miracles. I think he does ordinary miracles. I really do. I mean, childbirth is a miracle, okay? We see miracles every day. You know, just to, you know, even my own family, when I see the progress that My own sister-in-law has made, you know, God made the body in incredible ways. You know, we have a physician here. He can tell you. God did that. You know, that didn't happen by chance or anything. Miracles are always meant to point people to Jesus Christ, not to the person through whom God works. All right? So if you're in the presence of a miracle, don't put that person on a pedestal and start worshiping the person. God permitted it so that we would understand the person and work of Jesus Christ. But look what happened. Superstition comes in quickly. Even before I read this, many years ago, maybe 15, maybe 20 years ago now, there was a woman in, it's a true story, by the way, there was a woman in Mexico who made a tortilla, and she decided it looked like the face of Jesus. This is a true story. So she took a picture of it, and the media got a hold of it, and she was in some town in New Mexico, not too far from the border, and people came by the thousands to look, to see. Superstition. First of all, nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Second of all, it's a tortilla. Right? There was another instance after that where some woman claimed that at a certain time of day that the face of Jesus was on the side of her house. These are true stories. Again, thousands of people came. This is superstition. Listen, when Jesus is present, you don't need anything like that. You know it. And secondly, you know, he can choose to reveal himself any way we want. But we're so superstitious. I told you this a couple of weeks ago. A.W. Tozer, in his book Pursuing God, said that our sinful heart is so fickle that if we had reason, we'd worship a doorknob. Even believers. Look what this. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Okay, God was doing that, but it wasn't to glorify Paul or sell more handkerchiefs or more aprons. It was to point people to the salvation of Jesus Christ. And it got misinterpreted. Right? So look what happens here. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Okay? So, I'll say this as gently as possible. One of the reasons we try to do everything at no cost is because the gospel is free. All right, do you understand that? We do everything we can in our power at no cost. That's why, you know, we buy our kids the Sunday school materials. When we did VBS, we provide them free of charge because the gospel was freely given to us. We need to freely give it out to the gospel, to the people. When people start charging and trying to make money off of what God's doing, that's superstition. There's a lot of that around, right? But look what happened here. They would say, these are the Jews, right? They would say that in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. These people couldn't give a rip about Jesus or Paul. And Seven Sons of Sceva. How would you like to have a name like that? Huh? Seven Sons of Sceva. A Jewish chief priest. He should have known better. And he should have trained his sons better. We're doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Whoa. Answered them. Jesus, I know you and I am Paul. I know about. This is the evil spirit talking. But who are you? The evil spirit says, what are you doing? You have no authority. All you want to do is make money here. And it even gets worse. Listen, God has the final word in all of this. The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them and gave them such a beating, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Well, man. And to be honest, they got off easy. I don't know if any of you have had any experience with somebody who was demon-possessed. I have. And let me tell you, listen, it's not to look for a demon behind every bush or anything like that. That is to say that whenever there are demons involved, behavior gets very, very, very bizarre. And so, in this case, one of the cases I had where I believed a person was demon-possessed, as I mentioned the name Jesus, his face changed. It was creepy. His face changed. And at that point, he told me he was going to kill me. Okay? I said, oh, this is fun. You know? And you just sense the darkness of what's there. Listen, this is nothing to play with. And yet, even believers in the church choose to play with things they should never play with. I hear Christians use the term karma. Karma is non-existent. It's non-existent. It's superstition. It's non-existent. Why do I say that? Because you have David and Asaph in their Psalms saying, Lord, what's going on here? I'm following you. Nothing's going right for us. And the people who don't give a rip about you, they're prospering. What's going on here? Well, that's not karma. When we talk about karma, then Jesus was the biggest failure going. He did nothing wrong, and he was killed. And we let these things creep in. I've had professing believers tell me they play with Ouija boards. I had one tell me, well, more than one, unfortunately, tell me that they consulted a fortune teller because they wanted to see if they were going to get a job or a raise or this or that. Well, why not consult God? I don't deny that some of these things exist. What I do say is when you get involved with this stuff, you're playing with forces beyond whatever you can comprehend. And it will entrap you. It will entrap you. Well, I check the horoscope every morning. Well, it would appear to me that just by opening your eyes every morning, you would want to thank God. You don't need to check your horoscope, right? When you meet people sometimes, you know, sometimes they get on the zodiac stuff and all. What sign of you? I don't know. I don't care. I really don't care. Well, tell me your date of birth. No, I don't think so. Well, you know, don't you want to know your sign? No, I want to know Jesus. That's who I want to know. And we have to be careful. There are all sorts of superstitions that could easily creep in. Listen. I'm going to say this again. I think that God is permitting this COVID pandemic to weed out the church. I really do. Because between the pandemic and the cultural situation in our country, it's going to get more difficult for believers. People are afraid in their jobs. They're afraid if they say something that is true from the scriptures, they might get fired. They're afraid that you know, the political police are going to show up, right? You may know some people who have either got fired or demoted because they said something that was truly biblical. These are the times that we face. Let me show you that God gets the last word. All right. Look what happens. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with what? Fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. See, God will always get the last word. And look at the result. Many people who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. Openly confessed. I pray to God every day that he would bring the Church of America to this point where we will openly confess our sin and rebellion to him so he can start blessing the church again. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. Isn't that tremendous? Now, scrolls were expensive back then. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. It's equivalent to the normal average salary of 150 people for a year. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Percent of church growth is transfer growth from other churches. And listen, there's reasons to leave churches. I know that. But that's not a good way to grow. That means only 4% are new converts. Part of the reason is that we're not doing a good job communicating the whole story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, on the other end of the spectrum, you got those preachers who will, you know, point at people and say, you're a sinner and you're this and you're that. And they stop short of saying, but there's hope. And there's a solution, and his name is Jesus. And that's just as bad as the people on the other side who never mention sin or the person and work of Jesus Christ and the cross and the resurrection, why that was necessary. It's just as bad. When we let incomplete messages into the church and superstition, we are in trouble. Listen, only God knows hearts of people. And, you know, I don't judge, but yeah, I am a baseball fan. And I watch the Yankees every once in a while. And it's interesting for me to see that when some of the players come up to the plate, you know, they'll make the sign of the cross. And that's okay. That's between them and God. But the question I ask is, why? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you want God to give you a hit? Or are you doing it as an act of true worship and say, God, whatever you want, help me do the best job I can? There's a difference. One is saying to God, you're in control. The other one is saying, Lord, I want you to give me something. And there's a difference. By the way, sports people are probably the most superstitious in this world, right? Some guys don't cut their hair because they're on a hitting streak. Some wear the same shoes and all. And you know, we kind of laugh and accept this. But listen, Satan is a great imitator. He can make evil things look good. And he can make evil things look almost innocuous. So what? Oh, so what? Let's not play around with these things. Let's continue to look to the author of life and the giver of life. Let's continue to look to the author of our salvation. Let's continue to pray. I look, when Paul is with you next week, he's going to talk to you about Hannah's prayer. You remember Hannah from 1 Samuel, right? He's going to talk to you about, it's a really good message. It's not even complete yet, but I can tell you it's going to be a really good message. We need to spend more time in prayer, talking to God, than playing around with this other stuff. And we need to spend more time in the Word so that we hear the whole message and let God, through His Holy Spirit, deal with our hearts. So please be careful, okay? There's a lot of religion on television. There's a lot of preachers on television. There's some on the radio. Not all of them are real good. So please be careful. Amen? Amen. We have the best message in the world. It's not the most well-liked, but it's the best message in the world, and it's up to us in love to go out and share it. The other thing that I want to close with this morning, I'll ask Kristen to come up. And she's going to preach the second half of it. No, I'm only kidding. Come on up. Kristen. Oh, and Chip. Kristen and Chip and Sharon. And me. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I've been in places where you can sense darkness when things are going on that don't honor God. I've also been in places where you felt God's presence when He was getting honor and glory from the people praising Him. Before we sing this last song, let's go back to the responsive reading. Can you get me there? Okay. If you think, no, the wrong one. Responsive reading. Okay. If you think I'm making all of this up, let's read this together from Deuteronomy, and this would be a good way to close. Deuteronomy means second telling of what? Second telling of the law. Are you ready? Read this with me. When you enter the land of the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate what? Detestable ways of the nations there. You know what that's saying? Don't be sucked into the culture. Right? Gets better. Here you go. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire. They were doing that. That's evil. Who practices what? Divination or what?
Sorcery.
What's divination? Yeah, psychic, anything, you know, witchcraft or something like that. Sorcery interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, because the same detestable practices the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Well, Pastor, aren't you glad we're not that bad? Well, I'll let you and the Holy Spirit figure that out. But I can tell you this. When we come together and give glory to God, and we preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, we are standing on holy ground. Would you stand, please?
His presence.
Let's pray. Father, we need the help of your Holy Spirit to help us to stay true to the Word, to help us walk with our Savior, and to help us, Father, choose righteousness instead of evil. And Father, when we do fall, may we admit it and confess it to you and receive the forgiveness that's already been won for us at the cross. Father, help us not to get ensnared again into the world, but keep transforming us by the renewing of our mind and heart through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I thank you for these dear people who came out today, Father. Pray your blessing on each, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless. You're dismissed. Have a great day.